Why don't you save those for nighttime where you can actually see them? It's Friday, July 5th, 2019. It's time for your bi-weekly Nerd Overload. Dissecting the cadavers of the video game industry, this is the Noob Shelter Podcast, episode 4 or 5. And explosions have happened, and broadcasting live from deep underneath the city of Tacoma, Washington, in the Noob Shelter Bunker, I'm Matt Fugitive. Mike,
sorry about that. I forgot to unmute my mic. Sitting atop my ivory throne from my skyscraper in Puyallup, south of everyone else on this show, it's Fade to Black.
And unfortunately, the Birdman himself, Freebird, is not here.
Sad day.
He's gone. Freebird is dead. I shot him in the head and made his bones into bread. Now they lie in my bed.
He's just camping. Shut up.
Yeah, he's out. He's out camping, doing the campy stuff. So he's doing family time right now. That's what he's doing.
Yes, he
so
is.
Thank you all for attending our wonderful, lovely show. Hope to see you guys in chat later tonight if you're listening live. If not, well, then hopefully you download us the podcast. So I goofed twice on the intro, and I need to prove myself wrong here because I'm confused. I am, like, so off. We're actually episode 5 of the Noob Shelter, not episode 4.
Oh, you forgot to change that, didn't you?
I did! So that's why I caught myself. I was like, wait a minute, aren't we 5? I'm like, we're 5 because we did the... Because I uploaded the Do the Fish episode last week because we weren't here. So, and that did poorly as far as ratings went, I should say. You know, I thought everybody would love Kenori. Like, he was just going on and on about the fish. And like how and the Five Guys scandal and how it's all, you know, whatever. But anyways, yeah. So
but it was also my very, very absolute very first
It was your first episode. I honestly didn't realize that when I selected it. It was when I was after I had chosen it and I was going through the show notes for that episode, I noticed that it was your first episode ever. It said, and making his broadcast debut, you know, yeah. And yeah, I thought that was going to be a great episode, but I guess, well, the audio quality on it really sucked. So I apologize.
Yeah, that could be part of it.
It was a major part of it, I'm sure. And I apologize to all of our listeners out there. I'm going to work on the legacy episodes audio. They do get better as we go on. That is like one of our first couple of episodes that we did back in 2014? I don't remember. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, that was 2014.
That was a long time ago. So Mike actually stepped up to the bar tonight.
I will kill you.
Yeah, he brought us some some pretty lovely clips here. I'm enjoying these, Mike.
My blade will finish you.
I'm really enjoying these. I'm going to have fun with these tonight.
Yeah.
So we're going to go ahead and, well, Mike, what have you been up to real quick before we get into breaking news?
Oh, just trying to get everything squared away on my computer. You know, just trying to do a little bit more research and all that. And also trying not absolutely freaking break myself at work, so.
Okay, well, don't break yourself at work. We kind of need you in peace. We kind of need you in a whole piece here. We need you in pieces. No, we need you in a whole piece. So you got to be here in a whole piece.
Yeah.
So, and Rhythone, as we said, he's off camping right now. He's with his family doing the 4th of July weekend shtick over in some compound that his family runs over in Shelton. He invited us out, but we're lazy, lame people, so we're like,
I have to work today. It has nothing to do with lazy.
You had work.
If I didn't have to work today, it might have been different. I had to work today.
I didn't have to work, but I got 4 kids that I'm taking care of, and yada, yada, yada. So I have had one hell of a day, though.
Really?
Yeah. Well, first of all, my 4th of July was great. It was my first time ever. Yeah, I know. You're going to make fun of me, everybody that's listening, and Mike. My first time ever actually buying fireworks. Usually
I'm
just
not gonna
go
make fun of you. That shit's expensive.
Usually I just go and watch fireworks being displayed, but this year we moved to Tacoma. We don't have an idea of where anything is or what's going on. Google's no real help. So I decided that we weren't gonna go see fireworks. We were just gonna have a barbecue and listen to them in the background. I didn't realize how crazy the neighborhood I live in is when it comes to fireworks. You wouldn't think it would be as crazy as it was, because technically in Tacoma, fireworks of all kinds, including sparklers, are illegal. Very, very illegal.
It's still Tacoma.
It's still Tacoma. And in my neighborhood, they don't give no shits, because they were out there starting at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, shooting off bottle rockets and blockbusters and M80s and the whole shebang. I was the old guy sitting in the backyard complaining and yelling at everyone, pretty much saying, yo, why don't you save those for nighttime where you can actually see them?
Yeah, that sounds like you.
Yeah, I don't care about you shooting off fireworks, but geez, man, if you're going to spend like hundreds of dollars on boomers, man, save them for nighttime so you can actually get a show. I mean, the sound of them going boom, yeah, that's great. I love that sound. But it's better to see them flash boom as well in the middle of the night at nighttime. So I felt bad that, you know, I didn't think we were going to see a big fireworks display or anything going on. So my roommate Brad and my other roommate Clayton decided that they were going to go try to hustle some fireworks off of somebody at one of the reses. And we being in Tacoma, there's a res like down the block from wherever you live for the most part. So
yeah,
I chipped
pretty
in
much.
I chipped in $20 and they chipped in some money and they went down there and they got about $130 worth of fireworks for about $60.
Damn.
Yeah. Best time to buy fireworks in Tacoma is on the 4th of July, because you can usually hustle, because they want to get rid of their inventory and make some money. So you can usually hustle and get a deal. So we got to cut a whole bunch of Roman candles and poppers and M5000s and all sorts of wonderful stuff. So we lit them all last night and it was great. This morning I get up and I'm in excruciating pain from all the running I was doing from lighting off fireworks. Every bone in my body was aching. And I decide today is going to be a good day to start rebuilding the studio. How wrong I was. Not only did I break the mini display adapter that you gave me, Mike, for the Surface, because I just moved it. I was sitting here for like almost 3 hours trying to figure out what the hell was going on with my soundboard, because I have broken up my sound system in a way where you guys can actually hear the show now. Well, you can hear the sound effects I play on my main computer, the one that I broadcast from. And we never been able to do that before. It's called a mix minus setup. I thought I had it set up. Apparently I did it wrong, but now I got it set up right. So I went through thinking every one of my damn cables was bad, because whenever I was playing audio from this computer and blasting it, listening to it through the mixing board, it sounded horrible. I don't know what the hell I did, but eventually I got it working. So that was my day. And I almost, laid on my bed, crying because it was so horrible.
Oh, boo-hoo.
Boo-hoo. Breaking news! Got a news story for you here, all. Let's listen.
You see, this is what happens. Every day, people coming out and taking pictures of this magnificent building.
And really, can you blame them?
Can you blame them? It's such an epic film. I love it. I'm a fan. When I heard that Jason Reitman was going to be doing a new version in the fall, and my agents called him and said, hey, Jason, we hear there's a part of a young, semi-young, strapping man that needs to be cast. Who are you going to call? When I heard they were going to call me, well, as you can imagine, I nearly slimed myself. I can't wait to join the cast this fall for Ghostbusters. In fact, I'm sliming myself right now.
If you have no idea who that was the voice of Paul Rudd, and he was standing outside of the Ghostbusters firehouse on Monroe Street in New York City, making the announcement that he will be joining the cast of the Ghostbusters 3 movie coming out in 2020. I'm hyped.
Well, I'll be goddamn.
I'm so hyped. Rudd announced that he was joining the cast of Reitman's upcoming Ghostbusters film, broadcasting the message in a video outside of the original firehouse that was used as the team's headquarters, admitting he almost slimed himself when his agent asked him about taking on the role of a semi-young strapping man in the film. Rudd said he'll be there this fall when filming begins. So I am excited about the fact that Ant-Man is going to now be part of the Ghostbusters cinematic universe, the GCU, as they're trying to call it.
Wow.
Yeah. I was on the fence with Rudd for a long time when I heard he was going to join the MCU. I was like, I don't know how I feel about him because he's more of a dick and fart joke kind of comedian.
Yeah.
But him and Ant-Man was amazing. I think he didn't get enough credit for being an Ant-Man as he should have. And I'm actually excited for him being in Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if he's going to be in... Judging by that interview, it doesn't sound like he's actually going to be physically in the movie. It sounds like he's just going to be voicing Slimer.
No, he's not. He's going to be in the movie. He's going to be a strapping young man.
He's going to be a strapping... That's just ridiculous.
As you just said,
Rudd is like 40 or 50. He's like 40-something.
Well, who knows? He's going to be in the movie, so he's going to be in the movie. He's going to be an actual physical character in the movie.
Well, okay, well... So, remains to be seen.
So let's go ahead. We're going to break things down a little bit differently tonight for you guys. Normally, we start off the evening with video game news, but I think what we're going to try doing is we're going to try doing the top 5 gaming news stories. We're going to take a break, and then we'll jump into all the other swell if we have time. So this is a little bit more outdated than what I'd like. This is from 2 weeks ago because we've been really busy. But I hope you enjoy. Here is our top 5 gaming news stories. Yeah, getting down with it. All right.
Number 5.
Wow, she's loud.
Yeah, she again. Is. Holy
Number
crap.
Number 5.
All right, so remember that game we talked about an episode or so ago, that Mario Battle Royale game?
Yeah.
They got
basically
a cease and
Super Mario Brothers, but with a crap ton of people.
Yep, they got a cease and desist from Nintendo, so they changed the name from Mario Royale into DMCA Royale, and they renamed the main character from Mario to Infringio.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, so Infringio is still racing against 74 other players in a familiar platform setting. Web-based game Mario Royale attracted quite a bit of attention last week by taking Nintendo's well-known mascot and placing him next to 74 other human-controlled doppelgangers in a race through level designs taken directly from popular Mario games. Given Nintendo's litigious reputation when it comes to fan games, it's perhaps no surprise that the game got DMCA'd! Yeah!
Douchebag!
As creator Inferno Plus noted in a comment of the game's YouTube trailer over the weekend, Inferno Plus himself didn't seem all that surprised, Who would be surprised? I mean, whenever somebody... Here's a good example. There was a fan-made Chrono Trigger game sequel, Chrono Trigger sequel, that was destined to hit everything. Well, okay, that's not Nintendo. That's Square Enix that offered the DMCA.
Yeah.
But Nintendo is known for DMCA, DMCAing YouTube videos, playthroughs, yada, yada, yada. They DMCA because they're very protective of their IPs, and they don't want anybody misusing their IP for anything. Even if it's an innocent game like Mario Royale, they still are going to DMCA it just in case somebody gets any bad ideas. So,
of course.
So everything happened. A patch was shot out on June 21st called the DMCA patch. And the game went from Mario Royale to DMCA Royale, and Mario was changed to Infringio. And the graphics were also updated, and it still plays good from what everybody's telling me, so, or from what I hear.
Interesting.
So moving on down the list to number four.
Number three.
What the hell?
Number four.
I'll edit that out. Shit. Electronic, so EA CEOs and other executives gave up their cash bonuses this year, this quarter. Electronic Arts CEO Andrew Wilson and a series of other high-ranking executives at the publisher declined their cash bonuses for the latest financial year, which ended on March 31st. This was confirmed in a Securities and Exchange Commission filing dated June 21st and reported on by Game Daily. Quoting him, our CEO and his staff requested that they receive no performance cash bonus award for fiscal 2019. The filing mentioned that Wilson and other executives declined their cash bonuses due to EA's poor financial results in the 2019 fiscal year. Quoting, in order to maintain alignment with our pay-for-performance executive compensation philosophy. While we are disappointed with our fiscal 2019 results, we understand the challenges we face, and we will continue to focus on how we can apply the strengths of our company to capitalize on our opportunities. Now, they made about $4.5 billion for 2019, which is down 18. From... They made $4.95 billion for fiscal 2019, which was down from the $5.15 billion during the previous fiscal year.
We're in 2019.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying they made, for fiscal 2019, they made $4.95 billion. In fiscal 2018, they made $5.15 billion. Their fiscal years end on different parts. We're now going into fiscal 2020 for them.
That makes no fucking sense.
That's okay. Just how the shit works. It's just how.
That's not how that shit works.
That's
they're,
how
they're,
shit
they're broken.
That's, anyways, that's my... anyways, anyway. Downturn in revenue might sound surprising, of course, given EA landed a huge hit with Apex Legends, but there's been a lot of bullshit going on with them as far as Anthem, Battlefield 5, both of which have underperformed significantly for them. I think there was also, wasn't Star Wars Battlefront 2 part of that? I'm pretty sure it was.
I don't remember, actually.
That was there was that whole bullshit with the DLC of that game.
Hmm.
Anyways, other executives, of course, declined their cash bonuses, includes CFO Blake Jorgensen, CTO Kenneth Moss, Chief Marketing Officer Chris Bruzzo, and Chief Studio Officer Laura Mealy. Patrick Soderlund, who quit EA in August 2018, also reportedly gave up his bonus. Apparently, I guess he gets a bonus for being on the board for one point of time. They were offering Soderlund $20 million in equity to stay at the company, but even so, he left to establish his own studio in Sweden. So, yeah. He's like, I'm done.
That's hilarious.
Anyway, so they took some of that money and gave it out as employee bonuses. About $4.8 million was to be paid to employees.
Are you telling me that EA actually did something decent for once in their goddamn lives?
Yeah, but here's the kicker right here. That's what I saw. But, of course, we're the Noob Shelter, and we like to deconstruct and read between the lines. Here's a little thing I found online. The SEC filing also reveals that all of EA's named executive officers received an increase to their base salary in fiscal 2019. So they didn't take their bonuses, but they sure as hell took a raise.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, okay, yeah, that's sleazy, but that raise is not going to be nearly as much as what their bonuses more likely were.
Let's break it down. Wilson now makes $1.192 million a year annually. Jorgensen gets $8,850,000. Moss and Bruzo make $675,000. Miele, who's just only started as a chief studios officer, makes $675,000 annually, as well as Soderlund, who left EA. He made $475,572 as a base salary. All numbers are in U.S. dollars.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they still compared to the previous year.
Yeah, I get that, but still, that was nice of him. But come on, man, don't play the monkey card. Don't be like, we gave them this money, but you still gave yourself raises. I don't know, man. But, I still don't like him. I don't like him.
I understand, okay? Believe me, I don't like him either, okay? But I'm still going to, at the very least, give them props that instead of just, like, freaking investing that money elsewhere, they actually gave their employees a bonus.
Okay. I'll give them a little bit of
a
wiggle room.
I will give them a little bit for that on its own.
I'll give them a little bit. Just a little tiny bit. Moving on.
Number three.
So, we all heard of the whole mini console craze, right? I got myself an NES and SNES Classic. I'm going to pick me up a Sega Genesis Classic when it launches and a TurboGrafx-16 Classic. We don't talk about the PlayStation Classic. We don't talk about that bitch. Even though it's $25 and you should probably all grab one. I might grab one maybe by the end of the month.
It's only $25 right now?
Yeah, it's on sale for $25.
I'll be damned. I might actually pick one up there.
Yeah. Anyways, the people over at Commodore, though, they're like, hold my beer. Not only are they re-releasing the Commodore 64, but they're doing it in a full-sized version. This time for the holidays, with working keyboard. The Commodore 64 computer is back again. This time, it is not a mini version. They did release a mini version that was met with lackluster meh. A full-size version of the retro home computer is set to release this holiday in Europe and the UK. It's going to be coming to the States soon, I can assure you of that. Developed by Retro Games, the Commodore 64 may look like its 80s predecessor, but has some modern features built in for functionality. Announced previously, the system features a full keyboard. It's going to feature a full keyboard, updated micro switch, classic joystick, which is going to be USB, and an HDMI output. Here's the kicker. You can choose between one of three switchable modes. Boot straight into the original BASIC, the VIC-20 BASIC, or the Games Carousel. So you can run VIC-20 BASIC or Commodore 64 BASIC on this. And it'll come pre-installed. I like the Commodore 64 BASIC. I think the VIC-20 BASIC is garbage looking. That's just me. I've played with both. You still there, Mike?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, you got quiet there.
I was just thinking what you were freaking saying. You don't have to expect me to freaking... I know.
It got really quiet.
I mean, I can just keep going.
It got really quiet, though. I think maybe I might have fixed all the audio issues with this thing, too, by doing what I did.
Oh, my God!
Woohoo! Anyways, speaking of games, there are going to be 64 built-in titles, which can be played in 50 hertz or 60 hertz with optional CRT filters and screen modes. Yeah, they're saying it's going to be distributed in UK and Europe, and we're looking at between 109 and 119 euros. But I'm sure it has not been announced for North America at press time. A mini version has been available on the market since last fall, also released in the US. That's great, but I want the full-sized one. I really want a full-size Commodore 64. I wish I never got rid of mine. I love that thing. The Print Shop, that was my favorite app to use. Developing, like, gigantic banners of skull and crossbones saying, Matt's room, keep out, on a dot matrix printer. Those were the days, man. You'll never get them back.
You're old.
I am.
I just figured, I just felt like it needed to be emphasized at that point.
Anyways, so moving on.
Number two.
Steam is dropping support for Ubuntu, but not Linux entirely.
That's completely ridiculous. Ubuntu is like 90% of regular users, man.
I know.
Douchebag!
Anyway, so the availability of Steam on Linux has been a booming boom for gaming on the platform. Everybody freaked out and creamed their jeans when Steam said, we are going to go full on Linux, because they were pissed off at Microsoft and Windows 10. They did not like where Windows. They were not liking where Windows 10 was going. So they're like, we're going to support Ubuntu. We're going to create our own Linux-based operating system, and everyone's going to love it. And then they released the Steam bot, the little Steam streaming box, and their Steam controller, which their Steam controller is still legit good to this day. But the box itself has kind of fallen by the wayside. I mean, you could have bought the controller and the little Steam Link box for like $1 on their website when they had them. They're not making them anymore. Anyways, back on June 20th, a developer at Valve announced that Ubuntu Linux 19.10, which is due to come out this October, won't be supported by Steam. Valve is still supporting Linux, just not future versions of the Ubuntu operating system. Ubuntu 19 and future releases will not be officially supported by Steam or recommended to our users. We will evaluate ways to minimize breakage for existing users, but we'll also switch our focus to a different distribution to be determined at some point in time. So why is Valve ditching them? Well, that's a good question. Canonical, the company that owns and develops Ubuntu, said last week that Ubuntu 19 will not include any 32-bit packages. So it's technically Ubuntu's fault. See, Valve wants to keep it in the 32-64 family. If you got a 64-bit OS, that's great. But if you got a 32-bit system, which is very rare these days, I kind of understand where Ubuntu's coming from. But Valve's like,
yeah,
we want to stick with that. I'm pretty sure it's because some of their libraries, there are some of their calls, probably.
Well, that's it, though. 95% of systems out there, at least, are 64-bit systems.
But how much of that architecture is 32-bit? The actual software that you install in those systems?
Doesn't matter. A lot of all of the 64-bit architecture is 32-bit compliant.
Right.
But so it's all legacy.
Right, but what I'm saying is, okay, I see what you're getting at. Yeah, I see what you're getting at now. Okay, you're right.
You are correct. Just like, as an example, if you look at Windows systems, there's two designations for between those two. There's x86, which is 32-bit,
Here's why, Mike. Canonical, the company that owns and develops Ubuntu, said last week, Ubuntu 19 will not include any 32-bit packages, meaning the applications that rely on 32-bit libraries or drivers will not work. There you go. That's it.
That makes no freaking sense.
Steam runs, I can almost guarantee Steam runs some of their crap in a 32-bit architecture. And Ubuntu is releasing a 64-bit OS that does not have backwards compatibility with 32-bit libraries. There you go. I don't blame Valve.
In that case, I don't either. But that's just completely and utterly ridiculous. Ubuntu is being released as a strictly 64-bit, because 64-bit was built off of the 32-bit architecture.
I guarantee. Yeah, I know. I will be surprised if anybody adopts Ubuntu 19.
I'm completely surprised.
I'm not. I'm stuck at. I got two Hyper-V boxes running on Ubuntu 18. That's it. Y'all ain't getting updated. You're stuck. So, yeah. So,
yeah, but that server, that's Ubuntu server. It's different. It's going to be different, or it should be.
So here's the thing. Any distros that are built on Ubuntu are probably going to have a bad time. That's why I recommend I doubt you're listening, but if you know someone that is running a Linux distro built off of Ubuntu, strip the Ubuntu out and drop it straight on top of Debian. Because Debian ain't going to do that shit. All right, so here we go. We're going to go into the number one story of the night. Oh.
Number one.
U.S. embargo laws. We've all heard about them. If you've turned on the radio or turned on your TV and just happen to be on one of the many news channels that are infesting the cable systems of the United States of America and beyond. We all heard about Trump and his embargo laws and us versus China. Not really thinking about it, but back on episode 3, we touched on the fact that they are affecting us as far as game distribution goes, as far as console manufacturing goes. We're starting to see things happen. And something big and unusual happened recently where, because of U.S. embargo laws, Epic, the guys who created League of Legends creators, I forgot who it was for the life of me. I don't remember the name of the company. Riot. I don't mean Epic. Riot, the creators of League of Legends, had to block their app in Iran and Syria. So League of Legends players in Iran and Syria are currently unable to play the game. With the U.S. currently imposing sanctions on Iran, of which Syria is a major ally, Iranian League of Legends fans are finding themselves blocked from playing the game. An Iranian player has alerted others to the situation of the game's official forums from user Jing Diff Victim. This story is wrote poorly. Woke up this morning and I can't play anymore, the post reads. Iran is one of the big EUW league communities, and there are a lot of players here, and now they can't play the game. So, yeah. Sorry, guys. You can't play LOL. Thanks, Donald. Where is it?
Douchebag!
So that's that.
Yeah.
And that was our top five news stories of the day.
Just to go back to the number two one, so you're aware, Ubuntu is Debian based.
Yeah,
I think you were referring to Fedora.
No. Ubuntu is built off Debian.
Yes.
I know this. Ubuntu is going to strip their build of anything 32-bit related. There are other distros out there that are too lazy to build off of Debian that have built off of Ubuntu. They're screwed.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's why
I just go to Fedora, man. Seriously.
Yeah, that would probably be the best route to go. So
it's what Red Hat's based off of.
So I want to take a donation here. I want to take a donation. Yeah, I want to take a donation. I want to take a moment here to talk to you guys about our donations.
We just need cash. I know a lot of people want to send blankets or water. Just send your cash.
That's right. Noobshelter.com/donate. Give us your money if you can. We'd really appreciate the donation. All donations go towards supporting the show. Anything over a $10 donation will automatically make you an executive producer on the show. So show artwork, promotional materials, voiceovers, music, sound clips, show notes, archiving, and effects. We love them all. So please consider helping us out by sending us all artwork and the like to show@noobshelter.com. Of course, we'll give you a credit on the show, make you a producer as well, and post your art on our website. If you do give us any of that hubbala bubbala, please make sure to also include your intent on allowing our fair use of said material so we don't get sued, or you don't get sued, or you don't sue us, or we don't sue you. A lot of lawsuiting and stuff like that. I don't like dealing with lawyers. Lawyers screwed me. So, noobshelter.com/donate. Pitch in. Yeah.
I swear we need to get that sound bite. It's like, alms for the poor.
Alms for the poor. Alms for the poor. Oh, yeah, we need to do that. I got the W, though.
We just need cash. I know a lot of people want to send blankets or water. Just send your cash.
I like the W. W is good. W is always good for a laugh. You got anything going on, Mike, that you want to talk about tonight?
Well,
doesn't have to be in the dock.
Well, actually, what I do have to say is, once again, it's regarding a game that I supported on Kickstarter called Dead Matter.
We haven't heard any updates about that. What's going on with Dead Matter?
Yeah. So they just released in the last couple weeks, they just released their most latest development vlog on the development of the game, and it's actually coming along quite nicely. It looks like they're getting closer and closer to their closed alpha.
Nice.
They had set expectations before that they would release a closed alpha to their backers at some point during the summer this year. So I'm just been trying to get my computer ready because based on the hardware specs, because they use the Unreal Engine 4.
Right.
And it has the minimum specs on there. It's just trying to get my system ready for that. But it's a great game. It's a roguelite sandbox zombie survival horror, and it's set in the Calgary, Canada. The map itself is going to start out small, but it's going to end up larger than H1Z1 and DayZ, I think combined. And it's actually, the map is also bigger than the Fallout 4's map as well by quite a large margin. And you can still support them now if you go to playdeadmatter.com. They'll have instructions on how you can support them through Indiegogo and that. And then their developers page, or the developers page, which is Quantum Integrity. So
nice.
And just putting it out there, as soon as the game releases, I'm going to be hosting my own server, my own private server, because that's included with this. The software is you're able to your host your own private server for friends and whatnot to be able to go and have your own, not have to deal with a whole crap ton of people.
Cool.
So I'm also planning on putting together a faction to play on their public servers, though, too, so that we get the experience on there, as well as playing on the private server. So.
Awesome. And I'm going to add that to the show notes, that link. I just cardialized it, and I just threw it up in the chat as well, too, kickstarter.com/projects/QA Software, Dead Matter. Yeah, check it out. It sounds like it's an awesome game, and I'm probably going to give it a shot when it comes out. Hopefully they'll give us a demo, because I want to demo it before I throw any money down. That's just how I am.
Well, that's... you can come over, and I'll let you play it on my computer, but...
It's a delight.
The alpha is going to be first, and then they're going to be doing... I don't think it's going to be... They're going to be giving demos. But at the same time, I honestly believe it's worth the money.
Cool.
So just you can go on to their YouTube channel. You know, Dead Matter has their own YouTube channel where you can actually view all of their development vlogs up until, which is number 9, which is the most recent one. And the work they've been putting out for the past, almost at least 2 years now actually has been great. I mean, they ended up losing half their staff last year, so that, they had to deal with delays in that. But they've been on it, and they've been consistently, keeping all of us updated, all of the backers updated, and getting content to us as when they have what they have worked on, what they have what they're planning on, So I would definitely say it's worthwhile to check it out.
Totally, yeah. I'm gonna, like I said, when you get it, I'll come over and check it out.
Yeah.
So, moving on, Luigi's Mansion 3 and Link's Awakening were nominated for the best console game of E3. Why am I not surprised? Because E3 wasn't that impressive, except for Cyberpunk 2077, which I thought would have had that. So, we talked about E3 a couple episodes ago. We talked about all the stuff that was there. And apparently Luigi's Mansion 3 and Link's Awakening made impressions, and they got nominated for Best Console Game of E3. Best of Show at E3, of course, was Borderlands 3, Doom Eternal, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Outer Worlds, Watchdog Legion. Best Original Game was 12 Minutes, Bleeding Edge, Control, Best Console Game. This is all weird and screwed up. Oh, so here's the list of best console games. Apparently, Final Fantasy VII Remake was included on that. Luigi's Mansion 3, Legend of Zelda's Link's Awakening, Jedi Fallen Order, Watch Dogs Legion, and Borderlands 3 all got the best. Or all got the best console game nominations. So, where the hell is Cyberpunk 2077 in this? They're not listed on this list at all. I think that's kind of douchebaggish.
Yeah.
Personally.
Douchebag!
That's the one I was going for.
Wrong button.
Yeah. I don't have my technical malfunction up tonight because I'm still building everything. So, wow. Oh, there's a rule. That's why, now that I'm going through this, if you're wondering why certain titles such as Animal Crossing didn't get nominated, here's the reason. Why was I wondering about Animal Crossing? I'm not an Animal Crossing man. To be eligible for nomination, games must be hands-on playable to voting publications for at least 5 minutes of gameplay. There you go. So, they didn't have a demo of Cyberpunk 2077 for play. So here's a list of all those ineligible for nomination. Cyberpunk 2077, Dying Light 2, Marvel's Avengers, Ghostwire Tokyo, Deathloop, Elden Ring, Halo Infinite, Animal Crossing, FIFA, Sea of Monsters, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six, the sequel to Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, Lego Star Wars, The Skywalker Saga, Tales of Arise, Google Stadia, Outriders. Why would Google Stadia be voted for anything? I don't care. Anyways, so there's that. And So another story that crossed my path that I'd like to talk about. We always like to talk about people who did stupid crap and then got banned for it, right?
Yeah,
I don't know if you remember the story of, if you've heard, Mike, about Dr. Disrespect or whatever the hell his name is, the Twitch streamer.
Yeah.
He got banned off of Twitch for a couple of weeks because he was filming at E3 in the bathroom. okay, first of all, that's kind of messed up that they would ban him for that. I mean, I get the guy's a douchebag, you know?
Douchebag!
Yeah, but that's his persona.
Exactly. He's meant to be a douchebag. But at the same time, what kind of a freaking idiot is filming crap in a bathroom? Who the hell cares what's going on in the bathroom? I don't take a camera into a bathroom. You gotta like have some Stugatz going on in your brain in order to like to be going into a bathroom with a camera. He's lucky he didn't get his teeth knocked out by some guy, you know? Especially with us men. Us men are very particular about what happens in the bathroom. We're not really a conversational type of sort. We just like to go in, do our business, and get out. You want to talk to us? Meet me outside of the bathroom. I hate people that always try to talk to me while I'm in the damn bathroom. Anyways, and there are people out there like that, and I work with people like that, and it drives me nuts. Anyways, rant over. So, Razer, we all know who Razer is. They're makers of such fine paraphernalia for your computer, peripherals, if you would.
Peripherals, dude. Dear Lord.
I said paraphernalia. Yeah, because they make paraphernalia and peripherals. I intentionally said paraphernalia. I wasn't saying it to because I didn't know what the word peripherals was. Anyway, so they cut ties with one of their influencers after her tweet saying that men are trash. So streamer and influencer Gabriella Catuzzo posing for a Razer promotion. This is a photo, actually. This is a photo that I'm talking about. They're talking about streamer and influencer Gabriella Catuzzo, and she was an influencer for Razer. Now, if you don't know what an influencer is, they're the guys on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook that you follow, and they post pictures of like, oh, I'm playing this cool game with my new Razer, like 99.999XGYZ super hyper keyboard with the mechanical clickies that are silent and RGB everything, and my house is a colorful rainbow. You get it. They're those guys, you know? Razer Brazil, the Brazilian branch of gaming peripheral maker Razer announced yesterday, or on the 24th of June on Twitter, that it won't be renewing its contract with the influencer Catuzzo. The decision appears to be related to a Twitter thread from June 21st, which she said men are trash in response to her having been sexually harassed. Razer Brazil framed the issue as being about gamers rather than gender issues. As gamers, we face every type of preconception and stereotype from the outset, and we will continue fighting so that this type of situation doesn't repeat itself. Okay, personal thoughts. One, if you're harassing somebody, and I'm going to say the word, fuck you. We here at the Noob Shelter do not condone harassment unless it's against EA and EA as a whole, not an individual. And FIFA. We don't like FIFA.
Well, FIFA's a game or a sport.
It's an organization. FIFA is an organization that licensed the use of FIFA to stupid companies like EA that make FIFA games, that make crappy FIFA games that are so pay to play. So harass EA as a whole, not an individual, not individuals as a whole, and harass FIFA as a whole, not individuals as a whole. But harassing individual people, be them influencers or gamers or journalists or just some girl walking down the street or some guy walking down the street, don't do it. It's bullshit. It's immature. It is horrible. You go to hell, and you die. Okay? Now, as far as what Razer did, yeah, okay, cool. I like what they're doing because if it was a guy that said all women are trash, there would be a shitstorm of biblical proportions raining down on that user and on Razer as a whole, not just Razer Brazil, but all of Razer. There would be outcries. There would be hashtags. This girl did it to guys. And I get that they were harassed or that she was harassed by them. But rather than saying men are trash, calling all of us trash, It would have been okay to say those particular wastes of human flesh are trash. Not saying all men are trash. Don't do that. Don't generalize us. Because I ain't going to harass you. I'll probably say your crap sucks and I don't like you being an influencer because I'm not down for that sort of thing. But that's me professionally criticizing you, one professional to another. I'm not saying you're trash. Just like I'm not trash. And Mike's not trash. And John's not trash.
Well,
maybe a little trash.
I wouldn't go so far.
Maybe a little trash. No, I'm joking, John. Yeah, you're going to listen to this and you'll be like, what the hell, man? I wasn't there and they're beating up on me? Yeah, well, you know, that's what you get for not being here. Exactly. Thanks, Mike. So, but just don't do it. All right. Respect other people. Women are not objects. They're really not. They're human beings just like you and me. They bleed red. You know, they're legit. They're cool people. I think more girls should be gaming than, you know. Anyway, so moving on. Let's talk about the Steam sale. Have you participated yet, Mike?
No, I have not. I haven't had much of a chance to participate in the Steam sale.
Have you seen anything going on with the Steam sale? Have you like actually checked it out?
I checked it out a few days ago. I haven't checked it out since. I don't know if there's anything new since then.
Do you remember that little game that they were playing, the Steam Grand Prix? The Steam Grand Prix Summer Sale?
Oh, yeah.
So, Valve, once again back on our news story. Let's see here. Sorry, I'm having a hard time finding, getting the story to pull up here. So, the Steam sale is going on right now as we speak. And once in a while, Steam will do something to liven up the Steam sale. This year, they got a mini game called the Steam Grand Prix. It's a racing theme. It's racing themed, and users are divided into five teams. The five teams are a hare, a.k.a. a rabbit, a pig, a cockatiel, a tortoise, and a corgi. The goal is to gain points by completing special in-game Grand Prix quests and spending money on games to increase said point maximus, of course.
Jesus.
And then use them to boost your team. Each day, random numbers of the top three teams receive the top game on their Steam wish list for free. So the issue is not so much the game itself. It's good. Okay, cool, whatever. You're going to spend money, you're going to get points, and maybe you'll get something for free. The problem everyone was having is the game's instructions. The game itself kind of sounds simple, but it really isn't. The gamified elements of the sale is poorly explained and weirdly granular. First, you've got to increase your max points, in effect, earning one sort of currency. Then you've got to earn points themselves, another more literal sort of currency, up to your max. If you do this in the wrong order, you just can't use all the points you've earned. You can only use as many as your max capacity allows. Finally, you spend those points on a boost for your team, the effectiveness of which is hilariously difficult to determine. Here's Valve's explanation on this. So I'm quoting here. Upon boosting, the nitro you've gained will help increase your team's speed in the race. Coordinated time to boost with your teammates, and together you'll increase your team boost level. 100 active nitro will result in a 0.1 times boost for your team's speed. Does any of that make any fucking sense to you, Mike?
Nope.
It didn't make any sense to me. I just joined Team Corgi because when I first looked at it, they were way ahead of the pack, because who isn't going to join Team Corgi? It's a right? fucking Corgi. Everyone loves Corgis. It's an internet meme, Corgis, in itself. It was destined. It's like the Shibi. You know?
Well, on top of the fact that they're way out in front. I mean, the closest to them, which is Tortoise in second, is still like 240,000 points behind them.
Well, let me take a look at the Steam app real quick here, because I haven't booted it up.
Holy crap.
And no,
so,
okay.
And Morgan no, currently before... has 315.9 and rising. In second place is Tortoise with 82.44 and rising.
Mm-hmm.
Third place is Cockatiel with 77.4 and rising. Fourth right. place is Pig with 76K and rising. And Hare is in dead last with 65,000 and rising.
Because who's going to want to be a rabbit? That doesn't surprise me. Rabbit does not sound too... Yeah, again, Corgi's in the freaking lead. By a shit ton.
Yeah.
Corgi is in
there's
the freaking
like, lead. It's not even a freaking race right now. It's a race between the last four.
I think I found our album art for tonight.
Like, holy crap, man.
Wow.
It looks like the giant middle finger that Corgi's giving to the rest of them.
I will kill you.
If you're on the website.
Yeah.
If you're on the website, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
I'm on there right now. Let me check it out here.
Blade will finish you.
I screwed it up. There we go.
My blade will finish you.
That's what Corgi's saying, man. Yeah.
I will kill you.
Way to go. I want to thank Mike for these, man. These are great. I'm going to love them to death. Yeah, look at that. Up, up, up. Tortoise just went up 0.01 kilometers. Hare just went up 0.01 kilometers. We're watching this live. We're here at Noob Shelter HQ. We're giving you all the latest updates on the Steam Sale Grand Prix. This is dumb.
Yeah.
Available points on my team, 0. Because I ain't participating. I just joined Team Corgi because I want free crap. Give me free crap. I want free crap. There's nothing. I have no notes that I got free crap. Oh, well. Screw that. That was dumb.
Yeah.
So, talking about politics earlier in the show, I want to bring this to the forefront because I'm quite interested by this. We talked on the first episode of the video, of our first inaugural video episode of us being back of the Noob Shelter about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez jumping in on a Twitch stream and talking to a gamer, and she was just name-dropping N64 and this, that, and the other thing, but she had an important message about what she wanted to do in Congress, whatever, and I'm a strong opponent of bringing politics into video games. I'm very against that. This is our area, our sphere to escape from all the political BS going on out there. This is a way to keep our amygdalas healthy, to keep them at a very decent size and not blowing up out of the back of our heads so we lose our minds and come up with all of these crazy conspiracy theories or believe fake news or listen to who's this or who's right and who's wrong. We don't want any of that. So that's why we play games. That's why the gaming community exists, to get outside of the real world and just relax in the virtual world and just take a breath and maybe take our frustrations out in a game of Grand Theft Auto or Halo or PUBG or whatever, Fortnite. So it irks me a bit when politics leak in the video games. I was not okay with the U.S. Army many, many, many moons ago releasing America's Army. I got over it, though. It was a good game. They did a good job. I'm certainly not on board with this. So Bernie Sanders, one of the Democratic nominees, also known as a Democratic Socialist, decided to launch a Twitch channel. Yeah, he's got a Twitch channel now.
Okay.
The Sanders campaign is planning a series of Bernie live videos on Twitch. Saul Loeb, that's a Getty Image thing. It doesn't translate these that well. The Sanders channel, which launched on Tuesday back at the end of June, comes just before the Vermont senator and the Democrat, the Democratic candidates for the White House join the 2020 election cycle for the first presidential debate, Democratic presidential debate, which took place last week, Wednesday and Thursday. The channel hasn't posted any videos yet, but according to Recode, the Sanders campaign is planning a series of Bernie Live videos on Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube, in which the candidate and his staff will discuss news of the day and provide campaign updates. The channel already has over 1,700 followers, but is following just one account, The Washington Post. Why don't you guys do this on YouTube Live? Why Twitch? I mean, that's just my question. I'm wondering if they have some kind of a deal on Twitch, because here's the connection here. So, and you just heard it with what I just read. The only one that they're following on Twitch is the Washington Post, right? Amazon's Jeff Bezos owns the Washington Post. Amazon owns Twitch. So pretty sure there is a connection here. I'm not even going to call it a speculative thing. I'm just going to call it a freaking connection that WAPO and Bezos and Amazon and Twitch are in bed with Bernie for some freaking reason. So does that make Bernie a contender? Because if you look online, a lot of the Democratic nominees, at a list of Democratic nominees, Bernie's like second, third place. Biden is up there. And all of the M5M, the mainstream media, the MSM, they are all on board with Biden. No one's talking about Bernie. So I'm wondering if there's some kind of a thing going on. I'm gonna look into that a little bit further, because that's interesting. But again, I don't like it when you bring your political bullshit into my gaming realm. Okay, Twitch is for gamers. It's not for you to spout your wahoo. Okay, I don't like people misusing media the way that they have been. Twitch is for gamers. When we were on Twitch, we were doing a gaming show. We were talking about video games and everything else. You got girls on there that have their boo-boos hanging out, flapping about, and they don't even talk about video games. They're just sitting there jiggling their juggies and getting money. I hate those people too. You know? I hope Snoop Dogg's gaming. I hope he's gaming. Because if he's not, then I don't like that son of a bitch either. If he's just sitting there for like 2 hours smoking a joint, getting money, I don't want that. No. If you're sitting there for 2 hours smoking a joint playing Fortnite, okay, then I'm okay with that. So, Bernie better do some Fortnite plays. I swear to God. I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah, that'll be the fucking day.
He better. I'm gonna try to reach out to their campaign and be like, yo, we're a video game podcast. We're pissed off that you guys are, well, I'm pissed off that you guys are using Twitch for political reasons. You better play some Fortnite. I'm going to be my sole purpose in life is going to be to hit the report button on you.
It would be soul crushing if he played Fortnite. Don't even freaking go there.
I want him to play Fortnite. I want him to play Fortnite and lose.
I don't want him to play Fortnite. I want him to play something else. He can play solitaire for our.
He can play GoldenEye. If he plays solitaire,
it's a game.
It is. We had this discussion before. Was it John that was making fun of us? Throwing a snap at you for playing solitaire, and I jumped in. I had your back, man. I was like, I play that shit in my sleep.
He's more so freaking snapping because Xbox was reporting it. That's what.
So let Xbox report it. Who cares? That's cool. I mean, you know, that's great. I don't know if I have anything else going on tonight. Let me see.
There's as far as Bernie Sanders, I honestly don't think there's any way in hell he'd be in bed with Bezos. There's no fucking way. Bezos stands for everything he's against, for God's sake.
I just find it weird that they're following WAPO, and WAPO is owned by Bezos, and Bezos owns Amazon, and Amazon owns Twitch, and that he's doing a Twitch stream. and follow. So? It's a circle, man. I'm telling you, it's a circle.
You might be just, drawing a line that doesn't exist.
And this is why I don't want politics in gaming, so I don't have to worry about drawing these lines.
Then just don't draw the fucking lines.
But I gotta draw the lines because this involves gaming and it's part of our show.
You don't have to draw the line.
But I want
to. You don't have to.
I got it.
No, you don't.
It's for our listeners. It's for you. It's for you, Gotham. This is all for you. Anyways.
You have got to stop that. You're terrible at it.
I love it. There's nothing going on at all, man. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's going on. Let's check the river real quick and see.
I was referring to your terrible freaking Bane impression.
Yeah, well, you know. So just a couple quick shots. One Piece Pirates, Pirate Warriors 4 was announced via Bandai Namco. That's going to be coming out later this year for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC via Steam. So if you're a One Piece fan, they're coming out with Pirate Warriors 4. There's been some... I'm going to save this for the next show, but there's been some more talk about the Nintendo Switch Mini. So that's going to be coming up. What else do we got? Ooh. RSS.app trial expired. A lot of my RSS feeds broke. No wonder why I'm not finding any news. I think that's pretty much all we got. Mike, do you have anything else you want to discuss? Oh, I got one more thing. But yeah, is there anything else you wanted to throw out?
Nope. Not off the top of my head.
So last thing for tonight, because we got, you know, I just like filling a little bit of extra time. So for you Pokemon Go players, there was some stupid rumor going on about, oh, they're going to be putting in an armored Mewtwo in the Pokemon Go. And he's from the anime film Mewtwo Strikes Back Evolution. He's not an official video game Mewtwo. Well, it's happening. July 10th, Niantic is releasing... is going to throw an update to Pokemon Go where Armored Mewtwo is going to be featured in some raids. So it'll be a chance to capture an Armored Mewtwo. I'm assuming that's going to be a Psychic Metallic Pokemon. So I've been playing a lot of Pokemon Go recently. I've been getting pretty good. So I'm looking forward to that. I might actually raid on that one. So, but yeah, you got nothing else?
Nope, nothing else. Not on my end.
Well, then that's it then. We're going to wrap it up. I want to thank Mike for joining me tonight, and I want to thank all you guys here at the Noob Shelter for listening to us live, downloading us, and listening to us. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel, and John will be with us. And as always, thank you very much for listening to the show. Stay tuned for... something random I pick up to throw in at the end of show mix. So, hey, Mike, you have a good night, man. I'll talk to you later. Yep.
Sounds good, man.
All right, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you.